Well, what I want you to get from that is that life is full of interruptions. Life is full of interruptions. Life is full of disruptions as well. So I want to challenge you today with that very thing. Has God interrupted your life with anybody that needs Jesus? Is He doing that on a continual basis? Some of us who've been around here for a long time, back when we were up on the square, this has probably been 20, 25 years ago. I think Chuck will remember this, and Andy, and maybe a few of the rest of you. But John preached a sermon back then and challenged us to ask God to interrupt our lives with somebody who needs Jesus every day. You guys remember that sermon? Am I the only one? That's a sermon that changed my life. It's a sermon that I really have been challenged by for that long. And I would like to say that I got up every morning and I asked God to interrupt my life with people who need Him. And I can't say that 100%, but since John preached that sermon, there's been a lot of days that I have. And there's a lot of days I wish I would have. And I would, almost in honor of him, reiterate that sermon today in my own words. And has God interrupted your life with people who need Him? If you'll turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and look at two verses today. Also, I am a math guy. I am not an English guy. Okay, I can't spell anything. But I did come up with 3 points, all starting with W. Two of them start with the same word because I couldn't think of only two words that started with W. So where we're going today is, what is your focus? What are you doing? And where are you headed? So if we look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. The last part of that, you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. You're not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Turn the page and go over to chapter 7, verse 23. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Got a lot of questions for you today and for myself. How are your spiritual ears? Can you hear Him speak when He speaks? I'm going to need some help with this too, because I'm going to say a lot of this in this time that I'm up here. I'm going to start and say, I'm not, and you're going to say, my own. And I'm going to say, I was, and you're going to say, bought with a price. Because that's what I want you to walk out of here with today, is that you are not your own. You were bought with a price, a heavy price. It was a heavy price for the Father to pay to send His own Son that you might have life. So let's practice. I am. I was. Very good. Quick learners. I know what John's talking about now. But how are your ears? Can you hear Him when He speaks? How are your eyes? Do you have a temporal focus? You have an eternal focus. Can you see Him when He's moving? Can you hear Him? Just questions to be asked to yourself. We have to be in tune, don't we? Because I'm not my own. I was. Hell yeah, guys, you're going to get this before it's over. We got lots more of those. Okay? Yes, I'm not my own. I was bought with a price. Why do I ask about your ears? Why do I ask about your eyes? Why do I ask about our lives? Why do I want Him to interrupt my life with people who need Him? Okay, it's simple. He bought my ears. He bought my eyes. And He bought my life. He paid for it in full. He bought it all. So why wouldn't I, as a follower of Jesus Christ, allow Him to interrupt my life with people who need Him? I've got an example of one that, and the reason I share this partly is because I would have been absolutely blind if I wouldn't have seen it, okay? But I'm going to share a few experiences of mine about this thing of God interrupting my life with people who need Him. And one's I did okay, and the other one I didn't do so well. And this one happened within the last 2 years. And many of you know Ryan and Brandy and the result of their lives and them coming to Christ. And then their little daughter Reagan came to Christ shortly after both of them came to Christ. So I want to tell you their story real quick. I was at home on an afternoon. I don't even know what I was doing at home. It was probably 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I got a phone call. And it was from Ryan, Brandy's husband. And it's unusual that I would get a call from Ryan just simply because our boys played baseball together for a long time. I saw him a lot during that time, but our boys don't play baseball. Well, they do, but I don't coach the team. And but he called me one afternoon, and Ryan was hurting. And immediately I could see that he was hurting. And he shared with me some concerns of his, some things that were going on in his life, and thank the Lord that he gave me the wisdom to say, well, listen, there's only one problem that you have in your life. And I knew that Ryan wasn't saved. I knew that he'd never come to Christ. And I said, before you can try to fix all those things, Ryan, there's one thing you have to do. You got to give your life to Christ. He's the only answer. And I don't know if he's going to fix your problems or not. I have no idea if he's going to fix them, but it doesn't matter. I said, your obligation is to make your life with Christ right. After a few minutes, these are the words that came out of his mouth. He said, Dwayne, I'm lost. And he said, I want to be saved. And so on the phone that day, Ryan received Christ. Praise the Lord for that. And it was just weeks after that Ryan, and remember, Brandy's not with him, but Ryan and Brandy wanted to start meeting. And they had some other things that they were trying to work out, and Tree and I had met with them for several weeks, and Brandy had even made the comment several times, I have no idea what you're talking about. I read the Bible, it makes no sense to me. And, you know, I don't understand. And so after several weeks of meeting, Trina had gone on a trip somewhere, and I was at home by myself with the boys, and it was about 1:30 in the morning I get this phone call. First of all, I got to try to get my bearings, because at 1:30 in the morning, I don't know about you, but there isn't much going on for me up here, anywhere. And I first had to figure out who it was, and second of all, what in the world does she want at 1:30 in the morning? Surely it can wait till 6:30 or 7. But listen, it couldn't wait. It's Brandy on the other end of the line, and she says, Dwayne, I need to come to your house. Again, I'm trying to figure out where I am, really, to tell you the truth. And she, so I take a minute and I say, well, is Ryan with you? Yes, he's with me. I said, well, yeah, come on out. And she said, I want to be saved, and I got to do it right now. And I said, well, come on out. Come on out to the house. I said, I can't leave because the boys are here. And so I also told her, I said, well, my driveway is being re-oiled, and so you can't even come to the driveway. You're just going to have to stop out at the mailbox. And so I drove my truck through the grass, and I met her and Ryan. I mean, they got there just like that. And I met them out at the mailbox. And you know what she did? She didn't care where she was at. She got on her knees out there on the pavement and gave her life to Christ. Now, that's an interruption that's hard to miss, folks. That's an interruption that, I mean, I would be blind to miss something like that. And if you have those, don't be blind. Man, those are perfect. It doesn't get any better than that, does it? So she told me this morning, she said, Dwayne, what you don't know about that story, and like I said, this is just this morning, she said, I'd slept in my car till 1 o'clock in the morning, and I was pretty well ready to take my own life. And I didn't know that. But praise God, he did. And he took her where he wanted her, and he saved her. He pulled her out of the darkness and set it into his glorious light. Amen. So I'd interrupt the service today, right now. If there is anyone here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, listen, that's what we're here for. If you showed up today and you said, man, I don't want to go home without knowing Jesus. Hey, listen, he gave his life for you. He died on a cross for your sins. Today's the day of salvation. Don't wait. Don't get out of here and go home and wish you would have done something. It'll be like, Brent, I got to do it right now. I can't wait. Is there anybody in here today that we'll find somebody to go pray with you? Don't be embarrassed by it. Lift your hand. Anybody? Don't mean to put you on the spot, but listen, if you can't wait, you can't wait. All right. We'll move on. I want to speak to those of you that believers. Because believers, I am, I was. All right. You know, Jesus' life was filled with interruptions, wasn't it? That's all he did. He spent his life being interrupted by people who needed him. I made a list of different things. It's not a all-inclusive list, but Jesus was interrupted by the leper, wasn't he? He cleansed the leper. He cast out demons. He made the lame to walk. He calmed the storms. He took away fevers. Healed the paralyzed. Caused the blind to see. Fed the hungry. Even raised the dead. He called disciples. And he preached the gospel for those in need of a Savior. Those are people that interrupted Jesus' life. And as followers of his, is that not what he expects from us? Is to allow our lives to be interrupted with people who need him. Jesus knew what he was doing, obviously, because he was God, but yet he was fully man. Okay, he had opportunity to minister to people because he had eternal eyes and he had spiritual ears. He could hear. He could see. Because he was in tune with who? He was in tune with his Father, and his objective was to do what? Carry out his Father's will. He wanted to do everything. And as believers, that's what we need to be doing. Because I'm not, I was. Yeah, don't get tired of that, because that's what I want you to go home with. Okay? So let's do some, let's let the Holy Spirit do some evaluating of our lives to see if interruptions are possible. Do we have a self-focus? Or do we have a God focus? I got a whole list of things. I'm just going to ask you a bunch of questions. I don't expect you to raise your hand or volunteer any information because, hey, he's been speaking to me about this stuff, and I don't do well on this list. Okay? Are you self-indulgent or are you word-indulgent? Are you focused on yourself or do you not deny yourself? You know, Jesus said, if anyone come after me, he must do what? Deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And it's simple. That's what he asked of us. Are you doing what you want to do? Are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you investing in self? Are you separating yourselves? Excuse me, are you investing in yourself or are you investing in other people? Are you doing what everybody else does? Are you being different? Are you separating yourselves by your actions and doing what's different? You see, he requires that of us because I was. That's right. Are you playing church today? Are you just coming today and doing the old checklist and being thankful that, you know, hey, I got out of bed and I got to church and that's all I've got to do? I hope not. I hope you're practicing true Christianity. I hope that you're taking in what God says to us today and you're taking it out this week and you're using it. You're using it to advance his kingdom, not your own. Are you ministering at your point of need to minister? John says this all the time. Or are you ministering at the point of someone's need? You know, I think of it like this. You know, if I know of somebody who's hungry, this is the way we do it, by the way, sometimes. I want to get down to real life situations, because if we can't go home with something real, it's really not really even worth taking anything home. But you know what? If I know somebody's hungry and I know they need food and I'm going to minister at my point of need to minister to them, you know what I'm probably going to do? I'm going to go home and I've got a need to minister. Well, I got an old couch. I know they need food, but I got an old couch. I need to get a new one anyway. I got an old couch. I could take it over there and give it to them. Well, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? What do they need? They need food. And I'm going to give them what? A couch? an old couch. I'm not even going to get a new couch. You know, I'm going to give him my old couch because that's at my point of need to minister to them. Okay? God doesn't ask us to do that. He asks us to minister at the point of their need. If someone's hungry, you give them something to eat. Okay? Well, are you a talker or are you a listener? Okay, have you ever seen those people? And I've probably been guilty myself, but there's some people that you carry on a conversation with them and they're thinking about what they're going to say while you're talking. You know those people? You see, if we're going to get our lives interrupted by Christ, we better listen to what that person says, not just hear them. There's a big difference. Because if you're trying to think of what you're going to say next, just so you can keep carrying on the conversation, you're not listening. You're not hearing what they have to say or hearing what their needs are. Do you have a temporal focus or do you have an eternal focus? Just questions to ponder. So we've looked at what is your focus? What are you doing? Let's look at where are you headed? Where are you headed? I am not my own. I was bought with a price. Are you headed for distractions? Or are you headed for interruptions? If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 23 again, it says, so brothers, you were bought with a price, so do not become what? Slaves of men. If we're not careful, we'll become slaves of men. Well, what's it look like to be slaves of men? This is what I'm calling distractions. What are you going to be distracted by? Now, this, again, is not an all-inclusive list, but I want to get right down to where we are. A few things that we're distracted about, and these are in no particular order, and like I said, these are just three things that I wanted to hone in on. First of all, entertainment. Enjoyment. Anything that stimulates self-gratification. Let me give you a few examples. Now, none of you are involved with these things, and I've never been either. I'm being facetious. Sports. Eating, movies, whatever you like to do, phones. Are phones good? Well, they can be used for good, can't they? Today, I can't stand phones. Okay? The only thing I like to have a phone for is once in a while to text and once in a while to get a phone call from somebody. We spend our lives doing that. You know, I can't even text with one finger. But I mean, some of you guys are a lot better than I am because you can do it with two fingers. And I think some of you can even add a third one in there sometimes because you know where those letters are at. Facebook, Twitter. I don't even know what some of these things are, to tell you the truth. I look at Facebook one. I don't have a Facebook account, and I'm not criticizing those of you who do, because they can all be used for the advancement of His kingdom. Okay? It seems like as communication gets better and better, our ability to communicate gets worse and worse. And He didn't mean for it that way. You know what? He created all things, didn't He? He created all things to be used for His glory. So we can use these things for that. But, you know, we get involved with Facebook and Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram. And that was, if that's not self-focused on Instagram, what are we Instagramming? We're Instagramming what? What we're doing. Okay? And then we had to go to, did you know this? You can do Instagram Live. You know that? Well, if you don't, you can. And that's where you can watch what somebody's doing every second of what they're doing because they got their phone and they're showing you what they're doing. And you can I don't even know how to, you just tap in the button somehow and it gets you there. I did chapel one day. He was on live Instagram doing something, and I had fun watching him. But I didn't even know this. You can do Facebook Live. Any of you do Facebook Live? You know, I raised my hand today for that. But Facebook Live. You know, and then we get down to the text, the calling, the video games. What are we investing our lives in? I mean, that hurts, doesn't it? It hurts for me to say those things because it's pointing right back at me. I'm involved. Okay? It's part of my life. It can be part of my life, but it can't be my life. It can't be all that I'm interested in, because how many times are we sitting there doing this? You know, we bump into the wall or we run into the door because we can't tell where we're going because we're so involved with our phone or whatever it is. How in the world are we going to see the need that's next to us? It's going to be impossible. It's going to be impossible. So use those things for good if you can. Most of the time we don't. So pay attention to what you're doing. Don't become a slave of men. That's what that means. Don't become a slave to what everybody else is doing. Because you know what? I'm not. I was. That's right. The second thing are attacks from the devil. You know, life is filled with these kinds of things too. We get distracted by people saying things about us, rumors. Sometimes things that we don't like happen to us. It involves our thought life. We get involved with our thought life and we can't get it out of our minds. What does he say to do with this? It takes every thought captive to his obedience. So don't let the devil get a hold of your mind and your thoughts and lead you down paths that you can't. All you can do is focus on yourself and poor, poor, pitiful me. Okay, problems at work can do that. Worrying about anything. Occupy your time thinking about temporal things. That's what we have to steer ourselves away from doing. Okay, we cannot do that. Our thought lives have to be things that he thinks about. Things that, and that comes from the Word of God. I'll tell you something that happened to me a couple of Friday nights ago. My boys play football, and after the game, we lost, and I am a real competitor. Okay, I don't care if I'm playing my wife in pool, I'm going to beat her. Okay, if it's underwater basket weaving, I'm going to win. Okay, because I'm just created that way. I am a competitor. I will compete because I want to win. And so guys like me, after football games that you don't win, that you can't control, that you don't have anything to do with, we have hard times with stuff like that. And so I'm, you know, I don't want to talk to anybody. You know, I'm upset and, you know, this should have happened or this should have happened and, you know, all those things going through my mind. And, you know, I look over and there's a guy standing over there that I haven't seen for months. He's gone through a divorce recently and he's standing over there smiling, and the interruption came. I don't want to go over there. I am upset because we lost the football game. So after a short battle, I went over there. And I said, "Hey, how you doing?" He said, "I'm doing great. How are you doing?" We had a conversation. Well, he had a conversation, because what do you think I was thinking about? I was thinking about things that I shouldn't have been thinking about. And it was like, the Lord was like, are you going to listen to him? Or are you going to be so self-absorbed in what just happened that means absolutely nothing, by the way? Okay? Or are you going to listen to what this man is saying? And so I got beat up a little bit over that. He didn't know I was distracted, I don't think, but I really didn't do a very good job of listening, but I really had to try and focus in on what he was saying. Because what I was going through really meant nothing, but what he was going through was very, very important. Last thing I'll mention when it comes to this thing of being distracted is just plain old selfishness. We put our needs, our wants, our desires our plans, and just shut out what's going on around us. That's what we do. I'm guilty, and maybe you are too. Are we going to continue to shut out these people who need Jesus? Are we going to continue to shut out the needs that they have? You know, if you're a true born-again believer, you can't, because is that hitting home yet? You're not your own. You were bought with a price. Dwayne, you have no reason. You cannot sit there and focus on self whenever I interrupt your life with someone who needs you, who needs me. You have to focus in on what you're doing. You have to consciously do that. So pay attention to what's going on around you. You must pay attention to what's going on around you. We'll finish up here with, are you headed? Where are you headed? Are you headed for his interruptions? Well, this would be one way, or a couple of ways you can tell if you're headed for an interrupted life. Do you deny self? Do you deny self? You know, if there's one thing in the in Wellspring over the past, I don't know, what is it, 30 years, 29, whatever it is, I've been here about 25 or 26. That's one thing that John has continued to pound into our heads, is we have to deny self if we're going to follow Jesus. And that's what Jesus said too, wasn't it? So if you deny self, what will you have? You will have ears to hear. You will have eyes to see what's going on around you. Because I guarantee it, he wants to interrupt your life with somebody who needs him. There are too many people out there that do not know Jesus. There are too many people out there that have too many needs for you not to get your life interrupted with somebody. Let him do the interrupting, by the way. Don't try to concoct something. Don't try to create something. Just pay attention. Pay attention. Take out some noise in your life. You know, the reason that you can't find, or, you know, you say, well, Dwayne, he never interrupts my life with anybody who needs him. Whose fault's that? That's probably yours. Take out some noise in your life. Okay? Turn off the radio once in a while. Get off your phone. Pay attention to what's going on around you. You know, I make some trips to Springfield. And, you know, some of the times that I go to Springfield by myself are some of the best times, because I turn off the radio. I don't have anybody in my ear talking to me. I don't have anything there to distract me, except for hopefully driving down the road, and I can hear. And it is unbelievable how he begins to bring things to mind. You know what? If you're not quiet, how can you hear it when he says, hey, listen, this guy over here, he'll bring somebody to your mind to pray for. How do you know that? Well, because I was quiet. I heard it. I don't do that enough. Okay, how do you know when somebody has a need? Well, he shows you. Are there people in Houston that have needs right now? Tons of them, aren't there? Last thing, look and listen. Look and listen. You have to look and listen, because I am not my own. That's right. You have to look and listen. It's an obligation. You have to make a conscious effort. It doesn't just happen. The Holy Spirit lives in you, yes. But listen, you got to watch. You need to look, because they're out there. It'll cause you to pray. It'll cause you to give. It'll cause you to meet the needs that he asks you to meet. And when he asks you to give, you give whatever he asks you to give. It may be your time. It may be your money. It may be part of your life. But you be ready to give, because he will interrupt your life with people who need him. That's what he's about, is kingdom work. And meeting the needs of people by the body, by believers, is what he's about. I'll close with one story. It happened to me 15 or 20 years ago, and some of you know this story very well. Chuck, how am I doing on time? Doing good. I timed this thing. I went through it like two or three times. I timed it. I had 38 minutes. I thought, man, I got to shorten that thing. I don't think I've been going 38 minutes. Went a little quicker. But John had preached this sermon, and it was a few years after that, I think. And, you know, it's one of those times where you feel like you're getting pretty good at something, and the Lord just reminds you that you're not really as good as you think you are. Any of you remember when gas got to $3 a gallon the first time? Oh, man, I was upset about that. I told myself, I am not paying $3 a gallon for gasoline. Well, I did. That or you have to walk or ride your bike. But I remember one day I pulled up to Woods Express, and I was fighting with myself about paying $3 a gallon for gasoline. I'd pay $2.99, but I'm not paying $3. I pull up to the gas pump. You know what it said? $3. Ugh. So I get out of my truck and I put the gas thing in the gas nozzle in the thing, and I'm pumping the gas, and I'm just irritated to death about $3 a gallon. And I look up and this girl pulls in an older car. She pulls in. I don't know who this person is. I don't know who they are, where they are, where they came from. Okay? It was a red-headed woman. She was young. And she pulls in and she has a young daughter in the back of her car in a car seat. I remember it like it was yesterday. And as plain as day, the Lord said, fill her car up. Oh, whoa, no. Surely that's not right. Because I don't want to pay $3 for the gas that's going in my truck. And you're asking me to put $3 gasoline in her car. Surely that's not right. I stood there a little bit longer, and she put the pump in her car, and she put a little gasoline in her car. It wasn't very much. And I sat there and I battled and I battled and I battled justifying why I was not going to put $3 gasoline in her car. She put the pump back up on there, put the nozzle back up on the pump. She got in her car and she drove away. And it's been etched in my mind since. Now, a lot of you have heard that story before. But what was that about? He interrupted my life for some reason, to give somebody $3 gasoline. I don't know why. Was it my obligation to figure out why? Why not? Because I have been. That's right. It's not my obligation to figure it out. I don't have to figure out why he's doing what he's doing, when he's doing it, or anything else. But I know to this day, I wish that I would have filled her tank up with $3 gasoline. I have no idea. I don't know what happened to her. And I don't know what would have happened to her if I'd have put $3 gasoline in her car. I know I would have been obedient. I know that I would have done what he asked me to do, and I didn't do that. So that's the challenge for us today, is to have our lives interrupted with people who need Jesus. This world is dying, separated from Christ. It's full of people who need Christ. It's full of people who have needs to be met. What needs are you going to meet this week? You going to go meet, hey, I heard a sermon on that this week, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to create several things. On Monday, I'm going to see if I can feed the hungry. On Tuesday, I'm going to see if I can fill somebody's car up with gasoline. And so forth. Is that the way we're going to do it? No. Because that's the easy part. The hard part is staying in tune. Look. Listen. See what he's doing. Fill yourself up with this. Be quiet. don't be so involved with that. It's important. People's lives are at stake. So I would challenge you today, go home today and practice being what He wants you to be, because you are not your own. You were. That's right. Let's pray. Father, thank You for what You've been teaching me, how You've reiterated a sermon from a long time ago, how You have challenged me with allowing people to interrupt my life. And Lord, may You just remind me each morning to pray and ask that You would do that. And then Lord, give us the wisdom, the power, the faith to carry out that which You've asked us to do. Help us not to do more than we need to do when it comes to meeting people's needs, but help us to do what You ask us to do. And Lord, then hopes that those people will be kingdom followers, hopes that they'll come to Christ, their lives will be changed. Lord, we don't have to know the reasons why. We don't have to know every little detail. But Lord, may we be people that when You ask to give, that we give. Lord, give us spiritual ears. Give us spiritual eyes that we might see those around us who need You. In Jesus' name, amen.